Yeah. Well, let me give you a spot of music, and then we'll be right back at you. And I want this, want you to hear this music, because there's a fabulous concert coming to the Liberty Theater on the 9th of February. And if you were listening to Thistle and Shamrock earlier, you heard Colleen Rainey sing a couple of songs. She's one of the musicians, along with Hans Araki and two others, and this is Josephine County. This particular CD is Hans's, but the music's going to be terrific. Go to libertyastoria.org. Again, you can catch these, Josephine County, go to libertyastoria.org and check it out. Get your ticket in advance, and then you can just slip on in there and enjoy. This is a special opportunity for us when we get these travelers. So let's make sure we support it, and we'll bring them all back. That's the beauty of it. And here at Coast Radio.org. I send a shout out to Squamish and E66 Street. That would be New York City. and Lander, that'd be Wyoming, and wherever you're listening, we're happy to have you with us. And I am thrilled to have with me a room full of artists, and that's because the Au Naturel exhibit is up and running at Clatsop Community College Royal Nebucher Art Gallery. Let's see, I think it went up on the 24th of January.
Yes, it did. Yes.
You got to get a lot closer.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, you can take the mic, actually. Go ahead. Take that mic. Yeah. Okay. Someday we'll have even more mics in here. We can crowd even more people. That's Kristen Schock. You probably recognize her voice. She is the person who brought Au Naturel to our community. What year?
13 years ago already. This is year number 13.
Oh, that's a lucky number.
That's a lucky number.
Okay, we're all in agreement. Good. That's good. And this year, tell us what you've got. First, let me just mention the show is running through March 14th, but the reception is coming very soon. It is this coming Thursday night. That's a week from last night, the 7th of February. And it's really fun to get to the reception because you get to meet a lot of the artists. But we're going to introduce you to a couple of showing artists and then a special guest right here on Arts Live and Local. So tell us what you got this year.
Well, we had over 400 images submitted for this show. And so our judge, Ashley Stahl Myers, who is the curator at the Art Gym, she's also a writer, and she was very selective. She pared it down to 32 artists.
Wow.
And so it's a very selective show. We've had such a great response so far. People are saying we hear every year, the best show ever. That always makes me
That's
happy.
That's good. Every year it gets better. Yeah. And I can't believe it. Isn't that high?
We've had between 400 or 500
Have you?
Works submitted.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any international art?
We do. We did get some submissions from France, Taiwan, and several other countries. However, she judges it blind. One international artist was included from Canada this year.
Okay.
And then the rest were from various different states from across the country, the majority of whom are from Oregon and Washington, of course.
Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm.
Pacific Northwest, yes. Yeah.
And people find out about this exhibit, and obviously some of them, I shouldn't say obviously, but I'm figuring some of them are past.
We do. We have quite a few artists who are repeat artists who submit through the years. Plus, we have quite a few.
Word spreads. Though.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's wonderful. Okay. Now, remember, this show is up now, so you can get up there and see it. And personally, I really like to see these shows before or after the opening, because at the opening, there are lots of people. And sometimes you can barely see the art because it's so full. But it's still a great time to come. So that's happening on Thursday night. When is the gallery open?
The gallery opens up by 9 o'clock, sometimes a little earlier, but you can count on it being open from 9 to 5 through the week. And we have special hours during this exhibit on Saturdays from 11 to 4 as well.
Okay, that's great. So if you're in town or you have guests in town, go on up there. And that's the Royal Nebucher Gallery at Clatsop Community College. So my guests two of them are showing at the gallery. Why don't you go ahead and swing that over? Thank you. It's okay, I shut it off. This is like when you have a guitar and you have to pull out the thing. Okay, so now everybody is here. I have Drea Frost, who is a local artist. Do you still live here, Drea?
I do, yeah. I'm living just outside of Cannon Beach. I'm up in the woods these days. Yeah, still local.
Okay. That's pretty much as local as you can get. We also have Hank Pander. Hi, Hank. Thank you for being back here. And he's almost local, Portland, right? But it feels as though he's local because he's here a lot.
I love Astoria. I really like it. It's my New York.
Ah, I love that. And he doesn't mean Astoria, Queens either. He's talking about Astoria, Oregon. That's great. Oh, I'm glad you put that out there because I have New York listeners. Let's see what they have to say about that. And my third guest is actually part of Hank's work, but she doesn't have her own piece hanging in this show. Am I right, Frederica?
That's correct. Yeah.
Frederica Hoyer is here, also from Portland. And I read about how what happened, the dynamics between Hank and Frederica, and how they put this together. And I just thought it was brilliant. So I was happy that Frederica could join us also.
Glad to be here.
Great. So I think actually what I'd like to start with is, Drea, your piece seems to be all over the place. I just saw it in Coast Weekend.
Oh, really?
In a large, well, not that large, but a large photograph. Yeah. And why don't you tell folks about it?
Well, I knew that I had wanted to submit work to the Au Naturel show for a few years now, and I just hadn't had the chance. And this piece kind of came about.
What is the name of it?
So it's Vulnerable to Love and Loss. A friend of mine lost her husband this last summer, and it had me thinking a lot about our vulnerability as human beings and what it means to, like, live in this world, and when you really expose yourself, how that can, you can reap great benefits from living that way, but there's like the other side of it too. So it kind of has this dual, like, feeling, these dual feelings for me, this piece. And I
now, how did it get in the water? Is that something special to you?
Well, yeah, that I would say that is special to me. I'm kind of obsessed with water and the ocean and, like, the repetitive patterns. I spend time in the ocean on a personal, mm-hmm. Personal level. But I just felt it was the best way to represent that feeling of, like, vulnerability, sort of like that weightlessness, which can be so freeing and amazing, but also can make you feel like it's not so great, like that vulnerability, I guess, not to repeat myself, but.
Well, it's a big congratulations to you, because although you have showed here and you've been a artist in residence and a working artist for how many years?
I've been living out here for, gosh, is it like 8 years now? I've been painting or making art in different ways for longer than that, I guess, in my 20s, maybe earlier.
We have no idea how old you are, so that doesn't tell
us. So I guess, 15 years or so, a couple decades of art making, mm-hmm. for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you take it more, quote, seriously when you moved to Cannon Beach, or have you just continuously been putting the work out and trying to...
I guess I went to art school, but I didn't actually study painting. I was a ceramics major. I ended up also studying textile arts and photography. I had to have a surgery a few years back I had cancer. And I started painting because it was like the only thing I could do when I was just sitting and doing, not, you know, being able to move very much. So that's kind of where I really fell in love with painting.
Wow.
So nice. Kind of, I've shifted around in different mediums for years.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Well, congratulations on a virgin. none of these people are radio virgins, but it turns out Drea is an au naturel virgin.
Yeah.
And she made the cut.
I mean, in some ways, yes.
Yes, well, for the show. Let's put it back. Yes, we have quotes on there. But that's very exciting, and especially as it was blind juried, then, you know.
Yeah, it's an fantastic. Honor. It's quite an honor. Thank you so much.
Yeah, lovely. Well, I did not know this story. Frederica, did you know Drea's story?
No. I met her for the first time today, and I saw her painting for the first time today.
Right. So that's pretty, talking about vulnerability and cancer and all of the things she's talking about. I'm sitting here going, whoa, how did this happen? Well, it does when people come together in a space. There's quite. Frederica, I first met her, I don't even remember what year that was, for The Armed Man.
Yes, I think it was 2 years, maybe 3 years ago.
Well, it's at least, three something. That was a piece of music that was performed by the North Coast Chorale. And Denise was able to get a grant to have a small orchestra. And then this extraordinary thing happened. And Frederica, who is a photographer but an artist at the same time, most of your stuff is photo collage.
Yeah, it's photomontage. Yeah. And by the way, I think photographers, pure photographers, are artists as well.
Wait a minute. Let me make it perfectly clear that some of my...
Michael is right down the street.
No, actually, photography is my... I do not paint or really do ceramics or anything. Photography is my choice, and I definitely consider photography an art. But yours is different.
Yes.
It's not straight photography.
That's right.
And we had these pieces projected on the wall in the Performing Arts Center behind the chorale, and they were extraordinary. I think there was something like 13 parts.
There was one montage for each movement. Yeah. So I had taken the movements of the music and basically put my visual, you know, stamp on it. It was actually a lovely experience because I thought the choir was extraordinary. The music was certainly, you know, very much empowering all of us to think about issues of war and peace. And so it was great.
That was my favorite performance, actually, in that gestalt there and put it together. So how does this come to today? Hank, why don't you tell? Now, Hank, again, not only loves Astoria, but Astoria loves Hank. And you can see that because his work, right, Kristen? His work. His work has been represented at the Royal Nebraska Gallery. Before that, just the, not just, I better be careful what I say now. I'm going to get in trouble. At the gallery and also at the Columbia River Maritime Museum. So, and of course, as part of Au Naturel. But what happened this year? What did you decide you wanted to do? And how did this come together with Frederica?
Well, I painted a great deal of figure paintings, and including nudes on occasion. And I've participated in this program a number of times. And so I just came back from Holland, and I thought, if I'm in time, then maybe I can submit a painting into it. And the painting which is in this exhibition is, in my own mind, a kind of a really poignant painting. And it has a bit of a background. I have in Portland a garage. I have a van, and occasionally has to go to the garage. And there's a bunch of people work in the garage, and that's very, very nice people. And so, one day, I received a phone call from a woman about 2 years ago or so, and she was one of the women who worked in that garage behind a counter and also in the actual production facility. She was in tears. She was crying on the phone. And she said, I'm really shy about this, and I'm afraid to ask you, but I have a question. She said, I have in my family severe breast cancer, and they will have to remove my breasts in order to save my life. And so she was going to get this radical operation.
Mastectomy.
And she asked me, she said, would you be willing to make a painting of my breasts? And she was very uncomfortable asking me, and I said, of course, I'll do that. And so I made a watercolor of this woman. It was just really quite a wonderful experience, and I made this really, and she's really proud of it, and that went really well. And I told my friend Friederike about it, and Friederike and I have been friends for quite some time. And I knew that Friederike had had breast cancer, and I told her about what happened with me and this woman. And so Friederike said, "You want to see what it looks like?" And I said, "Yeah." So Friederike actually got in my studio and stripped partway and showed me what she looked like after, what she looked like now after having had this operation. In the meantime, we're all getting older, including myself and stuff. So I've been actually looking in paintings also at aging and getting older and becoming more vulnerable and what happens through life and all that. And that's nothing to be, embarrassed or ashamed of. It's just the way things are. And so I took a couple of photographs of Friederike, and she stood there on this podium and she looked so monumental and so powerful. And at the same time, so like European in a way. And I thought, God, I make an incredible painting. And so I thought about it for a while. And then a little while later, I called Friederike and I said, "Hey, Friederike, you want to pose for a painting?" And Friederike went.
Well, I said, on one condition, and that is that we do a double portrait. So I took my camera and basically said, you can paint me, but only if I can photograph you while you paint me. No such thing as the male gaze only.
So, have you ever done this before, or have you ever heard of this being done?
Of being this, painted in the nude? Being doing
quote, collaboration.
No, I haven't heard of that. It was really a spontaneous thing, and I should add, actually, that first of all, I had to discuss that with my folks at home before I made the decision, because I was not just going to bare my non-existing breasts, to even a good old friend like Hank without having green light from home. But then I thought, it's a really interesting experience to look at someone who looks at you without any of the connotations that usually go with, being involved in this exchange of gazes. I mean, if you think about it, when we deeply look into each other's eyes or look at each other, it usually comes out of an attraction or a sexual love relationship. It's not necessarily done in friendship. And it certainly is not necessarily done in this sort of glued together many weeks, a couple of months, seeing each other under the most intimate circumstances with someone who's of the opposite sex. At least that's not in my experience the norm, Mm-hmm. So it was a very challenging and actually quite interesting process. I got incredible footage. In fact, I showed Kristen today a book that I made about the paintings of, that.
It's in the car.
It's in the car. Of course, it's in the car. But so there was that result.
Well, and I got to see some of it because you also. Now, what was that? Was that in the article that I. On art? That.
Oregon Arts Watch.
Oregon Arts
the
Watch.
Best art site in Portland.
Okay, and you can anybody can look that up, right?
Yes. It's OregonArtsWatch.org on the net. You go in and you Google my name, H-E-U-E-R, or you look at the title of the piece that I wrote was called Eye to Eye, because that's exactly what we were doing, Eye to Eye.
And I highly recommend it for everybody, and especially for people in this situation that all three of you artists described in one way or another. I mean, this was extraordinary because Drea is a lot younger than the three of us. I'm not including Kristen. She's also young.
I'm up there.
not with us. And yet, she spoke. I'm so glad. I did not know your story. I'm so glad I put you first, because you had no idea what was coming, whereas I did. And I am so impressed. The painting is fabulous. The photography from that session. So how long did this go on?
Pretty sittings, I don't know, probably generally about 6 or 7 sittings or standings. I must say, I painted a great deal of portraits in my life. Mm-hmm. And to me, mostly a portrait or still life for that matter, is really a function of looking, observing the world around you, the way life is, you know, without, you know, and as a painter. So there isn't really, oftentimes I think painting nudes, there's this sort of, you know, political issue surrounding it. But I, from my own point of view, I just, you know, gaze at all kinds of stuff without, but more like, you know, looking at the color or the structure or the drawing or the, in this case, also, you know, humanity and the presence of it, and how to make a painting as if it were life itself, and that is really ultimately what drives one to make paintings, and not necessarily sexual desire, or, you know. And so, in this case, too, is like.
I think what is also important, I mean, Hank and I have talked a lot about the fact that, you know, when you age and when you get sick, there's this preoccupation with decline. But for me, what was important is also to show all of those women who share the fate of double mastectomies or fighting cancer or whatnot, that there really is so much life left over.
Oh.
I mean, you can do something with it. And while examining or being examined for, you know, a body that is scarred to pieces, at the same time, to have the possibility to take your tool, in my case, the camera, and create beauty, is so much more important than the crap with illness. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, you know, that was really the message of empowerment that I was willing to undergo being naked for, you know.
Yeah, being friends.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting, too, though, is because this particular show is the nude in the 21st century, your work could not qualify because Hank was actually dressed. Now, that would have been interesting. But anyway, but another show, and I am certainly looking forward to the book. So, folks, this is happening right now, Au Naturel. This is the 13th show?
13th year, absolutely.
13th year. Mm-hmm. 13th year of Au Naturel. Thank you so much to Kristen Schock for bringing it here. It was one of the first things she did when she came, and it wasn't quite as welcome then as it became pretty quickly, though. People realized.
It's a great community.
Yeah, and that's quite a sophisticated thing for a small town. Mm-hmm. And so I think everybody is proud of it. The show is terrific. It's at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery. The opening is a week from last night, February 7th. But the show will stay up through March 14th. And a big thank you to my guests, and congratulations to Drea Frost and Hank Pander. And thank you so much to Frederica Hoyer for coming. And again, you can check out her her work and statement, which is extremely important. I put down Eye to Eye, but I didn't put down Art. What is the show?
It's Oregon Arts Watch.
That's it, Oregon Arts Watch. Yeah.
In 2017, that particular article by Friederike was the most read article through the whole year.
Well, it touches so many lives, And thank you all for coming in. This was wonderful. And the show, yes, Thanks for keeping it going, Kristen.
Thank you. And come tonight and tomorrow, Vagina Monologues held in the Royal Nippiger Gallery. Mindy's going to come and talk about that.
Mindy's up next, and here you get a double whammy. We'll talk about that in a minute. Thanks so much for coming
in. Thank you.
I have a piece of music. I want to send it out to a couple of very dear birthday friends. Music is Heather Christie's. It is Heather Christie's birthday and Margaret Frimmett's birthday coming up, too. Two extraordinary women in our community. Margaret, of course, is one of our programmers who is very valuable to my programming also. She has helped me out many times. Here's Heather, and do stay tuned.
Well, it's hard sometimes being confused. And your feet don't want to fit the shoe. And your mind is going around again. And you know that it's time to settle down to the day of tears. And don't stress out over the faults of his. And kiss someone you really love. And walk to the ocean to unload all that stuff that's weighing you down so heavily. So you can take a deep breath of the sea and give praise to her as she does you. Until the day is filled with truth, and it may be anger, and it may be rage, but go through it all to unlock the cage, for on the other side, if it is there, we'll welcome you with windy hair and give you the distance you also need. And the nourishment for your seed. So I guess it's not as hard as it seems to become a part of your beautiful dreams. If you break the barrier of the mind that only appears to keep you from finding all of what you need to know. And all the tools to help you sew the dress of life you wear so tattered. And put in place what is shattered.
That was Heather Christie with a song that she wrote. And that was performed, actually. The first time I heard it was Nancy Montgomery singing. And that was for a play that we performed at the River Theater. And it was a very powerful play. And Heather's song was amazing. So happy birthday, Heather. And happy birthday, Margaret. Lots of love to you. And lots of love to whoever you are celebrating a birthday. Where are we? Beginning of February. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. We've got lots of February birthdays. All those New Yorkers, for example, Susan and Vivian. But right now, well, you heard what was coming up. Kristen spilled the beans, actually. I have three people here, which is just right. And Mindy Stokes is the... Mindy, did you bring Vagina Monologues to, or it was here before you came, or what?
No, I don't think anyone had directed the play at the college before I did.
So you did it at the PAC first, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. I remember, I've gone almost... every year, if not every year, I'm not sure. It's wonderful. It's funny. It's poignant, serious. Talk about vulnerability, as we were talking about before. It's got the entire gamut of emotions. And last year, for the first time, I believe, it was performed at the Royal Nippiger Art Gallery.
Correct, yes.
And that was amazing because Au Naturel was up on the walls, and here we were. So the play is The Vagina Monologues, and it is happening tonight and tomorrow night only at 7 o'clock, and this is a benefit for the Harbor. And my guests are, in addition to Mindy Stokes, Lori Kaplan. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Carol.
And Louise Garner?
Yes.
Okay. And
thank you.
Yes, and we've all met before, although I'm not sure where we met.
I'm not sure either, but your face is so familiar.
Yours, too. Yours, in this big town of ours, maybe. And Lori, of course. Lori Kaplan, who spearheads so many things around town and is a big supporter of Coast Community Radio, too, as is Mindy. I'm not sure about Louise, but if she isn't yet, she will.
I'm a supporter.
There you go. We like that. So tell us, give us some, you know, before I forget, I wrote myself a note that Wings is happening on February 9th. And I just want to put that on people's radar, since we're talking about women, that there is something at the college that you could register for furthering your education. So, Mindy, tell us a little bit about The Vagina Monologues, about Eve, how it came about.
Great.
Where it's happening, like all over the world.
Excuse me. I would love to. But first, I also want to say, regarding Wings, there's a Latina version as well. Starts at 8 a.m. And free childcare, free food, and it's a great doorway into getting educated.
And I would say that if you would like to know more, and I highly recommend Donna Quinn on her Talk of Our Towns show did an interview on Wings. So you can go to coastradio.org and check that out in the podcasts. Talk of Our Towns. Okay, now tell us about Vagina Monologues.
Okay, so Eve Ensler is an activist. I would call her a second wave feminist, even though I think she identifies as third wave, which means she was born, she's in her 60s, but she looks at intersectional theory. So she looks at how women's lives and everybody's lives, but specifically women's and girls' lives, are impacted by sexism and racism and all these isms that we have. And she specifically focuses on violence against women and girls and sexual abuse. And so what she realized a couple of decades ago was that if you can't say the word vagina, you can't talk about rape. And so she did this revolutionary thing. She decided to interview women about their vaginas. And the vagina monologues are monologues that she created out of these interviews. So they're really true stories. And what Eve has done is she is so kind and loving and really wants the world to be safe for women and girls. So she gifts this play to people like us every single year in the month of February. So you can put on a production anywhere around the world, and all proceeds go to benefit women and girls, specifically around violence.
And in the local community.
Yes. So right. You have to give your money as locally as possible. And then she always wants you to reserve, or you have to reserve 10% of your proceeds towards a charity of her choosing.
Oh, wow.
And this year, cool. We're all sending money to women who've been incarcerated.
Great. Excellent. So we have two women here. Now, Louise, have you been in Vagina Monologues before?
Yes, I was in last year and this year as well.
Okay. And so what prompted you to step forward last year?
I think Mindy inspired me to step forward, because she made a comment in class that if we don't speak up, who is going to? And it made me think, well, you know, I'm retired now. I have time. I have a mouth. Just as well put the two together.
And probably a vagina also, you know.
Yes,
the four of us in this room. So the pieces that in the show that our performers are speaking are not necessarily, none of them are their stories, although they might turn out to be. Am I right? This is a script.
Right. They are a script, correct.
Right.
But if you just look at the numbers, you know that one in three girls will be sexually abused by the time she's 18 in the U.S.
Yeah.
So all just with sheer statistics, you know that there's a number of people in any room that you've been in have experienced some type of
right.
violence.
Absolutely. But what you're going to hear are stories that were heard by Eve Ensler and scripted, and then our local performers take them on. And I have been so impressed. And the beauty, too, is that even if you go over and over, it's different every year because the presenters make it different. And last year and this year, the setting as well. So, Lori Kaplan, this is your first year.
Yes, it's now, my acting debut.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God. An acting virgin.
I hadn't thought of it that way,
Carol. For the vagina monologue.
Yeah.
Wow, that's quite the way to start. How did you get involved?
I think that Mindy had asked me, and I was involved with some other projects, and so I just kind of brushed it aside. And then she came back with another invitation, and I thought, that really sounds good. And actually, I like to stretch myself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, for me, even just saying the word vagina out loud is a stretch.
Well, it has been for all of us, I can assure you, and that's why.
Yeah,
it's
especially
happening.
My generation.
Yeah, which is mine.
You just
and
never,
mine.
You, we didn't say those words. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about sex, even with girlfriends. And so it's been good for me. It's like a whole other universe, in a way, has opened up. So, mm-hmm. And this cast is,
and
wonderful.
But it is interesting because, exactly, I remember feeling the V word, you know, nobody was saying it.
No.
And it's, but there's so many things in our world that have opened up. I remember when Kennedy talked about his family member who was mentally retarded, and it was like, shh. You know, nobody
That's
talks
right.
about that. And my guests before you, talking about breast cancer and double mastectomy, it's happening, and it's a good thing to be able to talk about it. Know that you are not alone. And this play definitely, with a lot of poignancy and humor as well. So did you get to, Lori and Louise, did you get to choose which pieces?
Yes, we did. And that was fun because you could, like I picked, I think, kind of safe pieces.
You know? I would agree with that.
It's your first year.
It's my first year. And already I'm thinking, well, next year.
Uh-huh.
And I've learned to say some words I'd never said out loud. Mm-hmm, I had read mm-hmm, some, and mm-hmm. everyone got a good laugh because I mispronounced one in special. And they thought that was a hoot, and they still laughed last night at the dress rehearsal because I said it correctly. We did get to pick. And it was a pretty thoughtful process. People were really intent on picking pieces that meant something to them.
How about you, Louise?
Well, I got to choose, but also Mindy agreed with that, with
mm-hmm.
my choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I wanted to do to stretch myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do my stretches in the morning when I wake up. I wait and do them on the stage in front of 200 people.
Oh, I just can't wait. This is going to be so...
Why don't you tell her which one you're doing?
I'm doing the woman who likes to make vaginas happy. So I play a sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
It is a stretch for me.
Oh, you know what? I wouldn't even use that label. Because when you're listening to it, it's not... I wouldn't use that label.
Which label? Sex worker?
Sex worker. Oh. It's just not...
So you didn't even realize that's
no,
what
no.
you...
Oh, no. I mean, because it's the way that...
See,
the
Lori,
way that Louise is mm-hmm. shows her, she's just this really lovely, mm-hmm. nice woman, and
Okay, I think
Mindy's now really rolling her eyes with me.
And that's because right here on air, you are seeing the birth of a new human being.
She's getting warm. She's taking off her coat.
She is. She's not blushing.
No. I mean, I knew that's what she was doing, but the label seems demeaning.
But that's the point. It isn't demeaning. That's exactly what's going on here. We need to lift people so that people who were called garbage men before, that was also demeaning, so they called them sanitary engineers, and who the hell knew what it was?
Well, I'm thinking at a different level. Yeah. So one of the things that I've thought about and talked about with a couple of people about the play is that there are so many words that are nicknames or whatever for vagina, and most of the time are used as insults. They are meant to be degrading and insulting.
And that's the idea of reclaiming words.
Right, exactly.
Like queer and cunt.
Yes.
And all of those words that people have said.
But the other thing is that I don't know that that's true for male body parts. And so for me, that's really an interesting... I have to ponder more.
Yeah.
But I'm not really blushing.
Is this the first time have you seen the play before?
No.
Okay. So that explains why it's
I come off really naive?
No.
Because I'm not naive.
No, it's the acculturation, and language is such an important part, and by saying certain words, we begin to get a whole nother view, so that if somebody else is called a word like that, you can go, oh, really? Thank you.
Well,
you know.
I want to say something about Louisa's part, that she chose to become a dominatrix, which is a sex worker. She chose that instead of tax law. You know, she liked it. So she has sexual agency. She determines what she wants to do. And in that way, it's not...
demeaning.
A bad label.
Yeah.
Because she's doing exactly what she wants to do. And so, and that's what that piece celebrates. And oh, it celebrates. And so does Ms. Louise. You wait.
Okay, folks. Tonight and tomorrow night, these are your only opportunities. It's at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery. And that is 7 p.m. Come early and make sure you get a spot, because it's not a huge place. It'll be a fantastic. How many people are in it?
I think I have about 15, more than ever.
Okay.
I've had more women interested than ever before.
Excellent.
And very few people double up on parts.
What's the age range?
In the actresses?
In the performers.
Elizabeth Winters may be the youngest, and she just turned 21.
Great. And someone else is turning 80 next week.
Wow. That's fantastic.
And there's a few of us gaining on it.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thanks, Mindy, for bringing it here. Thanks to Louise Garner. Come and see her tonight. I can't wait. And
Laurie
Kaplan.
It is fun to do.
Clearly, you wouldn't be back this year. And we got to go. But you have one more
comment? I just want to say one thing. This weekend is dedicated to my mom. She died last April. I want to say is that even though she would have been uncomfortable watching the vagina monologues, she was extremely proud of me for following my dreams. And she made me who I am, and for that I'm grateful.
And for that I'm grateful to your mom. Thank you, Mindy.
We all are.
Yeah. Okay. Tonight and tomorrow night. Don't miss it, folks. It's amazing. Obviously, if you don't live here, go and find who's doing it in your community. I have one more guest, and put a little music from Maita on, and this is the Water Bearer. Well, you might have figured out that that isn't Maita. That's actually New Victorian with Scott Taylor, and they are all performing together at the Sou'Wester tomorrow night. That's the 2nd of February. And Scott is also performing solo at the Tillamook Library from 2 to 4 tomorrow, and he'll be doing Oregon Originals tomorrow. So it's going to be... We've heard a lot of music from Maita, and she is, I don't know if she's up and coming or if she's already there, but around here she's definitely on the agenda. And speaking of the agenda, here's one right here, and that would be Captain Thrawn Riggs. I get to say your whole name without reverting. I learned a new word.
No, you didn't. You knew that word.
I knew it, but not the way you
the context,
use it
right.
In the context. It's true. Thrawn is many, as are many of my guests, wears many hats. For example, he's a KMUN programmer, has done classical music for many years. He's also a musician. I believe you play the viola.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Who do you play with around here?
I'm on hiatus, but I've been playing with the North Coast Oregon Symphony.
Okay.
And chamber groups, Jam Faber.
Right.
My wife would play chamber music.
Right. And then the captain part, that's legitimate, actually. although, I believe you're finally retired.
I am retired, Carol.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Wonderful thing.
Yeah. And Captain Thrawn Riggs was... a bar pilot here in our area for how many years did you do?
I was 23 years a pilot.
A bar pilot?
Right, 23 years a bar
pilot. And before that?
I was a ship captain for 27 years.
Before that?
Yeah. Well, no.
I was going to say, you're not
that old. I went to sea for 27 years.
Okay.
I was 7 years a captain.
Okay. That's
so
it.
And if then you do the math, that's 50 years on the water.
It's a lot of years.
Yeah.
So did you choose to become a bar pilot, or is that,
Yes.
And then you have to go through all this other training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now you've chosen to retire. And the reason he's here today is for none of the above.
It's because I'm Carol's friend.
That too, he's my friend. However, he's here today because he has a show that is running at the Tempo Gallery in Astoria, and he was the featured guest in January, and they loved it so much. I loved it. I went and saw the show, and I was really delighted because there were it felt like two different shows from Thrawn, and I was really pleased. So they've kept him, and he will be the featured artist next week, which is Saturday night, February 9th. That is Astoria Art Walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand Tempo Gallery these days is only open on the weekends, is that?
During the slow winter time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a co-op, so we all share in the sitting to keep it open, and... it just doesn't make sense to keep it open too much because there's just not that much activity.
Right, right. And the space that it's in, called Tempo, is also the offices for the Astoria Music Festival, which starts ramping up in probably April or May or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about this show. Where was the inspiration and what are we looking at?
Well, Carol... I've been interested in and have painted for years, actually since I was a kid. Doesn't mean I'm any good, but I'm a really enthusiastic amateur. And what's showing in Tempo right now is almost all of it is from my yearly hiatus in Mexico. I go down to the central coast of Baja, on the west coast, central part of Baja, and it's just beautiful country. It's very inspiring. And there's
and what does it look like down there? I know because I saw the paintings. But can
It's Baja is desert and high desert and mountains, and then this beautiful rugged coastline indented with coves and headlands, and so it's kind of like if you can picture the Central California coast, but strip out all of the development.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
There's beautiful beaches and headlands, like I say. And I've always surfed. I grew up surfing, and there's pristine and uncrowded surfing down there, too. So I go down to my camper, got a little camper on the back of the truck, and park on a beach. Last time I was there for a month straight, right in the same place. And all the different views around.
Do other people show up at times?
There's the short answer is yes, but not many.
Mm-hmm.
And this one stretch, it's called the Seven Sisters. There's seven points in about a 20-mile stretch, 7 points sticking out in the ocean that all have really good surf on them. Mm-hmm. They call it the Seven Sisters. And this one place is in the Seven Sisters. So you have surfers mostly coming from Southern California to going to one of these points.
So are you painting while you're down there?
Is
that what you're doing?
Yeah.
As well as surfing?
That's my routine. Yeah. You know, am I going to surf in the morning or paint in the morning? If I'm painting in the morning, I'm surfing in the afternoon. When do I take my nap? That's important, right?
Oh, yeah.
Make sure I got enough Spam in the
I'm wondering, would you say there's any age limit to surfing?
No. No, it's just as long as your joints and muscles can do it.
And if obviously there's definitely no age limit to painting.
No.
So looks like you've got a good life chosen, Ron.
I got that path right in front of me.
Do you ever take your viola with you?
I took my guitar, this
guitar?
Year. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And had a lot of fun with it. Yeah, I probably will take my viola next year, my guitar and viola, because I found that was a really good way to fill in, not dead time, but, you know,
quiet.
You can only read so much. You can only sit there and look at the glittering water so much. You can only surf. So it was a perfect complement to everything else I was doing.
So when you say that, I'm thinking the music, well, and the painting, too, is kind of a meditation.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I can be at some scene painting, really concentrating on it, and get into this zen point. I don't know anything that's going on around me. If you walked up behind me and said, "What's up?" I'd jump out of my shorts.
Do you recommend this for people?
Yeah. I think everybody has it in them. I think we're born with the artistic urge. It's a basic human, not only urge, but need.
The creative.
To express yourself.
Absolutely.
Remember in kindergarten finger painting?
Oh,
how great that was?
Yeah,
right?
Nobody told you you did it wrong then.
No, no. There's no right or wrong. It's just sensual and visual. And,
right.
And I just never, too many people lose that.
So have you been doing this for a long time?
Painting?
Painting,
yeah.
And also being able to go to off on your own to do
Yes, but I really started hitting it hard after I retired.
That sounds
That
like
gave
it,
me right. the time to take extended absences.
Well, congratulations on the show. It's terrific. Tempo Gallery, right there on Commercial. It's a long and narrow gallery, and this will be a week from tomorrow night during Art Walk, Astoria Art Walk. Thanks so much for coming in, Thron.
Thanks for inviting me, Carol.
You bet. I do want to let folks know that tonight there's a contra dance at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center with the Clatsop County String Band and the Horsenecks. And the Coaster Theater is opening Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, and I have heard that it is hilarious. And, of course, the Vagina Monologues and the Peninsula Performing Arts Center has open mic, and then Tuesday they've got a whole new thing happening.